Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
I'm Steve Green.
And this is a CastBox original produced in partnership with Studio 71.
CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts.
You can listen to Shit They Don't Tell You wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you give CastBox a shot because we think it's the best.
No, we know it is.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Okay, well, welcome to...
It's on?
Oh,
okay.
Welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You.
Our
special guest today is David So, one of my favorite people in the whole world. I feel like I'm going to be saying that a lot because I said that to Joe, too, but you guys really are, like, my two favorite people in the whole world.
It's true. Yeah. So, YouTuber, actor, voiceover actor, and a filmmaker. Comedian.
Now filmmaker. Now a filmmaker.
Gook, yes.
Can you see that
Can
on
I
Netflix?
Say it? Can I say that? I get permission to say Gook, the Gook word?
You know, I'm offended.
Are you?
Can you stop
you know
saying
the funny
that?
Thing is, I feel like I should be more offended when people use it, but a big part of me didn't grow up with that word, so it's hard for me to really feel a certain way, depending on how people use it, because I think it's supposed to be like the equivalent of the N-word.
Right.
It's
a slur.
It for sure is. You know what I mean? I think as long as people know what it's about, I'm kind of okay with it. Like, don't be walking around.
What about Chinaman? Chinaman's like kind of like that, right?
That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny to me. I always thought Chinaman was funny.
Because it's so racist, it's just funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's not even creative at that point.
Dude, I always thought our Filipino racial slur was kind of cool. It's
flip?
It's just flip.
I can't believe that's
flip
racial
is racial slur?
That's not a racial slur.
Isn't that tight, though?
That's like saying, like, hey, yeah, you're that great hair guy. You know what I mean? Like,
there's a friend of mine from Canada. He didn't know that Jap was a racial slur because it was just a shortened word of Japanese. He's like, bro, let's go get some Jap food.
But it's
and
also
the whole crowd went silent.
You know what's confusing is it's also the Jewish term for Jewish American princess. You know, the rich Jewish girls.
They're called Japs?
They're called Japs, and but like not as a slur.
Oh,
it's so funny. My grandpa was a Marine. He fought in Vietnam. And he would never say Jap. He would always say fucking Jap.
Damn.
But then it's funny, too, because he met Nikki and was totally chill. And Nikki definitely
I don't look Asian, though.
But you don't look Asian.
I am Asian, but I don't look Asian. I look Latina. Yeah.
He just stayed away from all the Mexican slurs.
He's probably like, yeah, we never fought the Mexicans.
Yeah, so. Exactly. He's like, nope, they're good people to me.
Yeah. Love the guacamole.
Yeah.
So we are talking about shit they don't tell you about health today. Like shit that like you're aging and like you didn't realize That you had to pay attention to some stuff. And I know right now you're like on a real health kick. We were just in Vegas.
You're on a tear, David.
Yeah, it's actually really impressive. I'm like super proud of you.
He was so disciplined in Vegas too, because we were just all in Las Vegas, Nevada, right? Huge shout out.
Yeah, and he was working out in the gym with your girlfriend, Mariel. Yeah.
For 3 hours, I heard.
Yeah, that was a long time, man.
Like, I tried to join them.
I never even spent 3 hours in a gym at one time.
Well, I had to offset the fucking 30-pound steak we ate at that dinner.
I know, man.
Oh, shit.
Dude, that steak was huge.
It was because, you know, we did the prefix menu, right? So I assumed on the prefix menu it was going to be a smaller portion.
Oh, yeah.
The lunch special.
Yeah. But they slaughtered a whole cow and then served it to all of us.
Seriously.
They
really did. There was like each person got a whole cow.
Even the filet mignon I got was like as big as Julia's head. So yeah. That's like this head that's big, you know?
Well, you got a fucking salmon.
I got the salmon and it was dope. It was really good. I
was like, which blasphemer got the fucking salmon?
She did, though. And you know what's funny, too, is that she used to love steak. She used to love it.
I used to love filet mignon. That's the only steak I like.
Are you a pescatarian?
I am.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, yeah.
I find it very odd when Filipino people are pescatarians, because you guys literally eat anything. Like, you have, like, dinuguan, which is, like, just pork blood. You just eat it with rice?
Well, I guess I'm not a true blue Filipino because I never liked any pork. Like, they put pork in everything. I fucking hate pork.
You hate pork?
Yeah, and even at this place, I ordered the clam chowder, and it had bacon in it.
Exactly, thank
God.
And
I was so offended. I took one bite.
Bacon was my favorite part of it.
I was so mad. I ended up switching with Tiff because she got a salad.
Did you know this prior to you marrying her or what?
Oh, dude. I mean, her whole no, I don't like bacon thing is kind of awesome because every time they give her bacon, I get it.
Oh.
It's better.
That is good.
That's true.
That's good.
I hate bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni.
So you just
hate
breakfast?
Pastrami. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I love pancakes. So
she only
that's
likes
a real breakfast food.
You, waffles?
Yeah. Pancakes, waffles. I've got
eggs?
A sweet tooth. I do like eggs, but it was an acquired taste for me.
You hear the way she say eggs looks so fucking weird to me.
What?
She says eggs.
What? How do you say
eggs? I say
you
eggs like
asshole?
A normal fucking person. You say eggs.
Say plaza or
what,
plaza?
Eggs?
Plaza or plaza?
Eggs? Sorry,
eggs.
I'm from California. I speak how the people on TV speak, so it's eggs.
No.
Motherfucker.
That doesn't sound right at all.
Normal English.
No, I don't like it.
Eggs?
Eggs.
Eggs.
Dude, you should... So, when we first started dating, she was eating, like, pretty much everything. And then slowly, throughout our relationship, I've just seen... Like, all of a sudden... This is why I call Nikki my sitcom wife, because I'll just wake up one day, and she's, like, doing some new thing. She's ordered some new... diet, or she's ordered some new type of food, or now she's like, I'm a vegan now, or she's like, now I'm not eating honey anymore, or she's like, hey, I just read this thing and now I'm not going to use plastic.
You're the type of person that should never be on like WebMD, huh?
Oh, I'm on there all the time.
Okay, well.
She's a hypochondriac.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I'm not diagnosed as a hypochondriac, mostly because I'm too scared to go to the hospital and get diagnosed as a true hypochondriac.
Since I've been with her, she's diagnosed herself with all kinds of shit, and she hasn't been right one time, except for recently. She diagnosed herself with this thing called candida, and I was like, sure,
candida,
honey, whatever.
Candida overgrowth.
What the fuck is that?
It's when the bad bacteria in your gut take over the good bacteria, and it causes all kinds of problems, but I matched every single symptom.
That sounds like a first world bacteria.
It is, actually.
It is very entitled bacteria. It's feasting all the time. Yeah, so now I'm on this, like, I don't know, candida, anti-candida diet, which is why I ordered salmon. I usually don't eat that much fish, even though I'm pescatarian, but I eat mostly plant-based and then, like, fish occasionally. But on this diet, you can't eat anything.
Then why do it?
Because you got to build your good bacteria back
up
in your gut.
Just take some probiotic shit.
This is what I'm talking about. It's not that simple. So I've been taking probiotics. So first you have to kill all the bad bacteria, the candida, and then you have to replenish it with the good bacteria with the probiotics.
Drink soap.
But during...
Come on, man.
So fucking stupid. You know what I mean?
Dude.
Works on your hands. Why is it working on your stomach lining? I never got that.
Honestly, if that was the solution, I would do it. It's better than this diet.
You would.
I would rather take a shot of soap than be on this diet for however many weeks.
She wakes up and takes like 9
be.
Different vitamins now?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like all these supplements because you have
Do you have the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday box pill?
No, but I'm about to get it.
Okay.
I'm about to be on Amazon getting it.
She takes nascent iodine, all this shit.
I thought they were going to pull me over at the airport because I had like this baggie full of pills. Like a huge Ziploc bag full of pills.
As you get older, though, you start to take more and more fucking pills.
Yes.
And it's funny because I started to realize this, especially when I was playing sports. all the things that I'm doing now is the shit that I used to make fun of old people for.
Yes, that's like, what I'm talking about. Look at that
fucking loser stretching. Like, true. What the fuck do you need to stretch for basketball, you fucking old fuck? And I'm over here 30 minutes.
Dude, you and Joe, the other night in Vegas, you guys were on the floor stretching for like 30 minutes.
I know.
It's so gotten to that point. And like vitamins, I was like, I don't need those. You know, how long do you go in your life and you're like, I never needed a vitamin, not one time. And then all of a sudden you reach this age and you're like, oh, you should really be taking more vitamin D.
I definitely start to feel, I mean, we're not old or anything, but you know what I mean? We're still at that, we're not 15 though.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so stretching and when you work out, like that recovery rate is a lot slower. Because I remember like in high school, I would be sore, but I'd still be able to work through that pain. I can't work through it anymore. I'm done. I'm out.
I used to be able to just vault upstairs. Like, I would go two stairs at a time because I'm so fucking cool and tall.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be so like, cool. I'm so cool that I could do two stairs at one time every time I take a stair, right? But now when I do it, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, my knees. Like, I'm like, oh, God damn it. I'm only 32.
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to be like when I'm 40, dude? I'm going to be in a wheelchair already.
Well, even just, like, having a sedentary lifestyle of, like, editing or doing the stuff that we do on YouTube where you're not really leaving your house, we realized, because both Steve and I were looking at each other, like, we're both working out. Yeah. We're eating healthy.
We don't eat that fun.
How come we keep gaining weight and we just... It's because we don't walk.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to walk at least 10,000 steps a day.
Like, I don't move.
And dude, if I don't, like, I actually got this thing that now tells me how many steps.
Yeah. We both are on this like Fitbit journey.
So the first day that I got it, I just wanted to see what my normal thing was. It was like 300 steps, dude.
300 steps. That's a 24-hour day. That's just going to the bathroom, bro.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I go to the bathroom and I go to the fridge.
That's it.
Yeah. Like, even if you had to work in an office job, you're still like walking down to your car. You're getting out of your car. You're walking to your office. You're walking around to get lunch. You know, you're doing
stuff.
You're
getting thousands of steps.
You're
for
getting
sure.
thousands of steps. But and go to lunch. Being and come at home.
Back from
lunch.
It'd be hilarious if your Fitbit just assumed you were dead. Just assume that you're.
That's why I'm glad they can't call the ambulance, or they would.
You know what's interesting? So, like, remember I told you guys before that I started walking every day.
Yeah.
So I walk like this. Well, since Vegas, I haven't been able to walk those like 3 miles a day. But that's like been the biggest factor in me losing weight because I haven't really been working out.
You didn't walk in Vegas? We got so many steps.
I got a lot of walk, but I don't know. But I was drinking a lot,
dude,
too.
Yeah, that's true. We were drinking a lot.
I had to break my candida diet for the alcohol.
I definitely drank a little too much.
Just in the hotel, I was walking thousands of steps. I was racking it up. I was like, right now, it's like I'm on a marathon for me.
Just walking down to get coffee and then back up to the room was like 2,000 steps.
See, I love that.
Man, that whole walking thing was such a bitch though in the beginning. Like, just because I'm not active. Like, just like you. Like, I would sit, wake up, and everything we do in work, it's mainly writing. So where the fuck am I going?
Right.
That's why
I'm not going to be like one of those fucking putzes and go to a fucking coffee shop just to write.
I can't do it, dude. I can't sit there and fucking do it. Like, I'm a writer. I live in LA. I should be one of those guys who goes to the freaking coffee store. I know why these guys do it, by the way. It's because they're all like, well, I don't want to be, like, I want to be there and be able to work, and then, like, I don't want to look at porn, basically, right? I'm sure. It's like, I don't want to be tempted by my normal habits or whatever, right? They want to be productive. So they go there. But I'm like, dude, I don't need to worry about that. I know how to get my shit done, so I just do it at home.
Oh, do you? Or do you play Grand Theft Auto all day?
If I need to play Grand Theft Auto, I play it all day. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
No, if I need to do it, like if I'm researching for a character that I'm writing.
Or he's just laughing through all your videos as you're trying to record something.
Dude, exactly. I get so pissed at him because I'm doing like 50,000 things at a time every day, and I walk out, he's in the same place the entire day.
I probably went to the bathroom.
Sometimes he's playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
But as a writer, you kind of need that mental break. Sure. That's why Grand Theft Auto was very
important. But I'm writing too. I can write two sketches in the time that it takes him to like play one round of Grand Theft Auto.
You don't judge each other's processes.
No, yeah, see, yes. No, she'll judge your process.
I do. She'll judge your process.
And then she'll say shit to me like I'll come in and be like, hey, honey, you want to? And then she's like, don't talk to me. Do not talk to me right now. Do not talk to me right now. And like, she's not mad at me. She just can't be disturbed because she has this like little bubble that she's in, and if anything comes into her bubble, like even the fucking cat, she's like, I'll just hear her yelling at the cat randomly for no reason.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Like, right? She's like, leave me alone. Just leave. And she's talking to a cat. He doesn't understand what she means. Like, she's insane. That's why she's my second wife. She's out of her mind. I feel like I'm Kevin James, and she's like whatever the wife character is, right?
Leah Remini. Excuse me, you're gonna diss her like that?
No, I like her. I don't remember her name.
She is the show.
Oh God. But you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm just waiting for the next thing. Like, literally yesterday, Nikki's like, I've decided I want to have a Virgo baby. And I'm like, wait, we're going to have...
How do you decide that?
No, I know.
It's true.
And right. See what I'm saying? I'm like, wait. So now, okay, because 3 days ago we talked about how we don't want to have any kids now. But because we go back and forth, we're always like...
Well, if we were going to have a kid, I just want it to be a Virgo baby, so we just got to get pregnant in December or nothing.
This is what I'm saying. I find out all of a sudden what's going on
but
in my own life.
You guys have to have a kid, though.
Oh, no, yeah, we're definitely going to.
You guys have to, because there's too many people who shouldn't have kids that have kids.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I think, like, the people that I like the most feel like they have so much that they want to do, they don't want to have children, right? That's but true. You people are the ones that need to have kids.
Oh, man.
Like, you need to.
Train them, make a little army.
There's an actual
thing. Yeah, train them to be men, you know, or women.
It's really what it is, because there's like this theory. I forgot who it was, but it was like one genius offsets like 10,000 idiots. So we just need more smart people.
Well, thank you for thinking our kid is going to be a genius.
It's already over.
Because it could go either way in this family.
There's no. This is like standing to me with a bat as a tidal wave is coming. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's over anyway. There's no fun.
But like, speaking of kids, I had no idea what a pregnancy does to your body, like with health and stuff. Like, you know that it comes out of, you know, you have fat,
oh,
and then you like
your pussy
have
in half,
oh my
it?
God, but it's not just that. Like, you gotta full on wear a diaper for like 2
because
weeks.
It tears your butthole, right?
Like, until it tears everything, and
that
then you're all sewn up. It's
that is
it tears your
that
abs
gives Mother's
apart.
Day a whole new meaning to me.
I know, right?
You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh,
that's
my god,
that's why they have like stuff like what push present, push gift, push
what?
Celebration.
This?
It's like you're supposed to give the lady a gift after they push the baby out. It's like a push.
Oh, gift. Hell yeah.
Holy shit.
That was like something I just heard
up my
of,
push
which,
gifts.
I didn't, which I thought was bullshit. But then after I heard your asshole tears in half, I'm like, maybe I should
yeah,
get her
diamonds.
Yeah, maybe something, you know?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Like, I'm just like, how do you go to the bathroom after that? I don't even know.
Yeah, and the doctor will put a pre-incision there so it doesn't tear. So stitching will be easier.
I know.
Yeah, so if...
Yeah, this is why I go back and forth.
Yeah, and then that's just the pushing the baby out part. Like, that's not even considering all of the pre... Like the pre-labor stuff, like taking all these vitamins, making sure you're eating the right food, making sure you're doing the right exercises.
All the stress you're putting on your husband because your husband has to deal with you.
Yeah, come on.
That to me is the biggest part of it, is all the stress that I'm going to be under.
You know, I only figured out recently. So prior to me being with Mariel, I've dumped every single girl that I've been with like instantly, right? So so it's except for like maybe my first girlfriend, so she's the one that broke my heart.
Are there girls out there? Girls out there who are like, David, so he broke my heart?
No, it was more like 2 weeks, this isn't working out, is it? You know, and then we kind of move on. And so I've never had to deal with a woman's period before. And I didn't
You broke up before one
yeah,
cycle.
Yeah, so that would even
until
happen.
Like 30? How long have you been with Mariel now?
3.5 years. So
okay, yeah, wow.
So it's like when I was 26 ish around there. So you know, you see it all in sitcoms.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, how bad is this shit, right? And so I didn't realize what the fuck that was. It's just like your hormones are going insane.
It's insane.
And nothing really makes sense at this point. And so when I first experienced, I was like, God, I'm dating a bitch. You know, and it wasn't just her. It's just when you're going through that time.
Do you have a sister at all?
No, I
okay,
don't.
That helps so much.
And my mom's always a bitch, so I just never knew. You know what I mean? So it was just.
I have an older sister, and I basically my mom was there the whole time I was growing up, and so I'm so used to it. It's not even. It
yeah, he was
me.
The first boyfriend actually that was unfazed by my PMS because I get it pretty bad, and I know like while I'm being mad and pissed off and yelling at you, I know I'm being crazy. Like I know this isn't logically something I should be this angry at, but your blood just feels like it's boiling underneath
yes.
the skin, and you're just like, I need to yell at something, I need to punch something, I need to yell at something, I need to get it all out.
And so my biggest issue was that she wouldn't recognize that when she was we call it pre-Tom, like before Mr. Tom comes around, right? that time of the month. She wouldn't recognize that that's what it was, and I was just being an asshole, right? And so I just told her, like, all you need to say is that, hey, it's that time. Don't take anything too seriously.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't recognize it, and she would just call me an asshole, and that's when I would just start to, like, get fucking angry because I couldn't tell when it was going to happen. And so until she had to acknowledge it, then I started feeling better. Because before, so this is an example. So we were watching, what's that fucking show called? Oh, Friends, right?
Uh-huh. Oh.
And so we're watching Friends. And
Steve
then she,
won't get any of the
you're
references.
Burning some brain cells. I hear you.
yeah. So we're watching Friends, and she goes, hey, and this is before, prior period, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a week before. And she goes, hey, you know what's funny? I'm kind of like Monica because she's like a neat freak. And then she goes, you kind of remind me of Chandler. And she starts laughing about it. And I'm like, I guess that's
wait,
cool.
Did you say that you're like Monica?
No, she said
like
she
Monica.
Was like Monica.
I wish she did. That
yeah.
would be great.
And then she starts
I'm so much like Monica.
<I know. laughs> Yeah, and so she starts cracking up, right? And then a week later, she wants to watch Friends again, and we're watching it. And then I was like, hey, you know what? You kind of are like Monica. And then she goes, you bitch. and I was so confused. I was like, you said the same thing. Like, I swore you said the same thing last week. And I was like, didn't you say that joke? She goes, no, I didn't. And I was like, wait, hold on a second. And I started, like, freaking out. And she starts crying. And I don't know what's going on, and
no,
I'm an
she
asshole.
She doesn't want to be like Monica.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck? And that's when I first figured out it was that period time
yeah.
where she's just a little more emotional. So mm-hmm. nothing really makes sense.
No.
And that was the biggest adjustment for me in a relationship. Like, I had no idea about this just 1 week period where she's just an asshole.
Well, it's awesome that you figured it out early.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, the first year of our relationship was a disaster.
So oh, ours too. Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
Like, everyone's like, oh, you guys are so perfect for each other. But, like, the first year, we, like, butted heads so badly, probably because we are so similar.
Yeah.
That, like, I just thought he was a cocky asshole, and he thought that I was a know-it-all.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we just didn't really understand each other or how we operated. That, like, our intentions were much better than that.
We just weren't understanding each other at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
And so
we would just fight and like trigger each other because of our ex relationships.
Yeah.
Like all this baggage from them and like all the past fights that we've gotten into. So like there were trigger words like know-it-all that I'm like, I'm not a fucking know-it-all.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
She was trying to prove how dumb she is.
I know.
Which I love.
Full-blown retarded. Not just regular retarded,
right?
Full-blown.
Right. She's like, I don't even know how to spell full-blown retarded. That's how dumb I am. Exactly.
Does it have a hyphen? I don't know.
G-H, I don't know.
Nice. No, but that's why, so yeah, we were kind of, is that why you and Muriel were doing that too? Because we were just weren't meeting
yeah,
each other.
Yeah, I'm just so
halfway.
Used to being by myself. Like
yeah.
everything was just based on what I, and she was so used to being by herself too. So, like, compromise just wasn't there.
And you don't
yeah.
live together yet, right?
No, we don't live
okay,
together.
Yeah, that's big,
and
too.
So, like, you know, this Vegas trip, we spent 4 days together. That's the longest we spent since we traveled together.
She's so cute. She's like, do you and him live together?
Yeah.
I was like, we're married.
She's the.
She's like, can you answer my fucking question?
Yeah, I know. Hey, bitch.
So, what does that have to do with my question?
She's like, it kind of worked out, though, because so we actually had to learn to be less independent. You know, and just start depending on each other for certain things.
Yeah.
Because everything, I thought that I would burden her with things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Versus like us being in a mutual relationship. It's not a burden. That's just what, it's a partnership.
Right.
And I wasn't used to that.
Me too. So, that's my thing.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
I'm very lone wolfy.
I tell him like, I need an alone day today. Like, because we live together and we work together. We're all in the same space.
Oh, Mariel always needs her alone. That's where I just don't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just completely, she goes, I need my alone time, so I'm just going to paint. And I'm
but
like,
see, a lot of guys make the mistake of thinking and making it about them when they hear that.
Yeah.
It's like, I need my alone time. And they're like, oh, she doesn't want to be with me. Like, me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, dude, they just need to be they just need to do the thing.
I need to recharge. And then I miss you more. Like, if I could get that alone time for even a couple days, like, I miss you and I want to see you and I want to.
It's good, man. Like,
yeah.
I think that's probably why she and I worked out so well, is because she does appreciate her own life. you know? So I think it keeps it a little more exciting. Like, you have your own thing, you have, she has her thing, and then when we do have conversations together, it's just a little different. We don't always have to do everything together. It's great if we do,
yeah.
But if she does have her alone time and her own thoughts, it's a lot more fun that way too. Because I think one of the things that I always said too, before I got into this serious relationship, was that I wasn't going to be with somebody that wanted to do everything that I wanted to do. It had to be her own path. Whether it's in the same career or not, she just has to have her own mind. You know, I mean, it causes for some arguments every now and then, but it's more fun that way.
Well, what's great too, though, is having that kind of like same sort of vibe thing where, like, me and Nikki, anytime someone's like, for example, like when we're going to do Vegas, everyone's like, we want to do a club night. And me and Nikki are like, hey, we're just not going to go to club night. We're going to go
gamble. Yeah, we're going to peace out and go gamble.
We're not club people. Yeah. So, but like, if one of us was like, I'm a club people, and then she's like, I'm not a club people, then that sucks.
Yeah.
But we have the same kind of vibe where it's like, we don't want to go to clubs. We don't want to like,
yeah, have we always fun. Have the same feeling about a room too. Like, if we're not vibing it, we're both not vibing it. If we're vibing it, we're both vibing it.
It's pretty much like that for movies too, or whatever, really. Like, we're pretty much on the same page. Like, we were watching fucking Three Billboards, and we were like, we were both looking at each other like, we're done, right?
Because everybody was like talking it up, and we were super down to watch it. And
so lucky, because Mariel and I have complete different tastes in movies.
Oh, really?
So when she's like, you want to watch this movie? I'm going to go, absolutely not. Enjoy that with your friends. I am not your friend. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Because like, what happens, she has like this thing where, and I also have a thing where I need to learn how to be careful with my words. So if she really likes something, I can't really place my opinion that I don't like it, because it's a little too close to her heart. So I have to just be like, oh, it's okay, you watch it with your friends, versus me saying like, wow, that is hot garbage. Because you know? Yeah. That's what I want to say.
Yeah,
well, that's what I do usually. That's like my reflex attack. But Nikki was watching like New Girl, right? And I thought, this show sucks complete ass dicks, right? I was like, fuck this show, first of all. I was like, fuck its whimsical attitude, like putting buttons all over everything.
Yeah.
Like, fuck all of it, right?
I wanted to hate that show, by the way.
And then she was watching so fucking much of it that I caught myself like paying attention to it here and there, because I wouldn't watch it with her. And then eventually I was like, oh, I'm wrong. This show is actually funny.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show.
Like, it heated up.
They found their groove like season 2, season 3.
Yeah, so I was dead wrong on that. And so like, knowing that kind of thing, like I always it's almost like similar to our early relationship. Like, if we're actually paying attention to each other, then it.
We usually agree. Yeah.
She just doesn't like anything that has to do with death, violence, revenge, ghosts, which is everything I love.
I don't like violence.
So I fucking love violence.
Me too. Holy shit.
One of my favorite categories is thrillers, and also like revenge stories.
I love revenge movies. That's my favorite. My favorite.
So I showed her one of my favorite films ever, is called I Saw the Devil, and somebody got their Achilles tendon ripped out.
Oh my god.
And
then
she cried and said she was going to leave me. So I was like, well, we're not watching movies together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I found out that I have to be very careful about movie selections. She just doesn't dig it. It like affects her mentally. So
I love a story about a man who got a mission, and it's just to make things right, and he's got to kill everyone on the way.
Exactly.
This is nothing better than that.
Like, even that terrible Liam Neeson movie,
Taken.
I love Taken, dude.
I love Taken.
It is highly ridiculous.
I even liked, I think, Taken 75% two? Of Taken 2.
Oh, wow.
Because I thought the part with the grenades was pretty tight, even though, because I'm so dumb, that I was like, this makes sense. Where he's using grenades to like try locate where his daughter is or whatever, and he's having to throw grenades, which already is like the most dangerous show ever. But I was like, this actually makes sense, because I'm so stupid. I am so directionally – I think we're both directionally not very good at that. And so I was like, that would be a great way.
I'm not in the military. Who am I to deny these facts?
Me too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the military. So to me, it's just real facts.
All I know from military is that my whole family's military, and I'm the only one who isn't military.
There it is.
And I also find when he's gone, I watch way different stuff than I would when he's home. So, like, he was gone for a bachelor party, and I was just alone at home drinking wine and watching Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, because they're making a comeback and everyone's, like, talking about it and hyping it up. I'm like, what's everyone talking about? So I decided to watch it. I'm, like, crying at home watching Queer Eye, because the guy is so sweet. And I'm, like, out loud saying, this guy is so sweet. I'm drinking
She's my
wine.
Sitcom wife.
But then,
she is your sitcom wife.
When you're watching a sitcom and a woman is sitting there crying, drinking wine, going, he's so sweet, I always think to myself, nobody does this.
Yeah.
Like, sitting alone, talking out loud, drinking wine and crying at a TV. But let me tell you, she
that,
does.
We were watching what's that fucking Fast and Furious with Paul Walker when it was the one that he died.
Oh. Six.
Seven.
Yeah.
And or so, no, eight.
You know that last scene where they're,
it's like a memorial.
They're looking at each other, and Vin Diesel and him are like looking across from each other.
CG Mariel, Paul Walker
right?
and him.
Yeah, fucking Mariel, right? We're sitting there, and I'm just like, God, this is so stupid. And I look over to the left, right? And then Mariel's in tears. And I look at her, I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, this is my final goodbye. And I'm like, do you know him? Are you friends?
Wait, so she loved that. Because I thought it was the corniest shit I've ever
that's
seen.
That's what I'm saying. It's,
I thought, by the way, his face was like covered in smeared Vaseline or something. Like, what
Vaseline?
With that? Yeah, Vaseline.
Vaseline.
No, you remember the end of Star Wars Rogue One, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where Princess Leia like smiles real quick and she's like covered in Vaseline. I'm like, what the fuck is with this trend now? Everyone.
I have no clue.
Shiny people.
Shiny
but
people.
But I have no idea how much hormones plays a role in everything. Because that's some shit that they don't tell you. That like your hormones dictate everything that you think. And I don't know if women are more sensitive to it or other.
But that's like guys and our dicks.
Yeah.
Because like I'll tell you this right now, right after we come, we are the smartest people on earth.
It's true.
It is amazing.
I know all my terrible decisions. And I regret them.
That's why I always say, like, I can't wait till I'm older and my fucking libido dies down, because then I'll just be smart as fuck. I'll be sharp as fuck.
Same, dude.
I am so fucking sharp after I come. It's ridiculous.
Me too. Because I can solve math equations. You know what I mean? I could come up with, like, an algorithm that would benefit humanity, I feel like.
But I didn't know, like, so that's half the reason I started taking vitamins, too, because I didn't know that they actually help your brain and your emotions. I thought they were just like, oh, they make it so you don't get cancer or whatever.
You ever take those vitamins that help you come white?
No.
What?
Yeah, no, so there's...
Who
there's
wants these, that?
Oh, wait, I think I know...
All guys, all
wait,
men.
What was this guy?
All men.
You just want really white cum?
Yeah, they want porn cum. No, so my
like
buddy...
dressing?
So Horton used to take these. My buddy,
what?
My old roommate. Yeah, he would take them so that he could shoot some dope ropes or whatever.
Ew.
I never did this shit, but fucking he did. It was hilarious.
You know what? I know...
Boys are so gross.
Yeah, we're gross.
When... who's that one fucking porn star that was known for just fucking cumming a shit ton? What is his name?
Peter DeRonge. North.
Peter North. Of course, he used to Peter sell supplements for this shit.
Oh, really? Oh, he would sell them. Oh, that's where Horton got them then, I bet.
That's probably where he got
them.
Because he was, like, known for, like, blasting women in the face.
Oh,
and
my God.
An obscene amount, by the way.
I always thought that he should do commercials for laundry detergent. Because think about it. Like, if Peter, like, why don't people do this with porn stars, right? It's like, get porn stars and have them advertise products because people already know who they are and they would believe them. It's like, hi, I'm Peter North, and nobody knows loads like I do. Like, you should buy Tide because this gives the best loads, like the thickest, frothiest loads. Like, and you'd be like, wow, I really trust his opinions on
thick
loads.
Oh, I thought you were going the direction of getting stains out.
Oh, no. See,
because I hear those are
that doesn't
too.
Make sense to
the
me.
The Peter North cum Peter shot North. Was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. First, it would get a girl in the face, right? And she thinks, like, the onslaught
nailed
is
her.
Over. And I call it the second coming. So it would get her in the face, and she's like, yeah. And then, blow, the second shot comes.
Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous.
By the way, we want to thank our sponsor real quick.
So you guys like watching other men's cum be white?
No, this was more of like...
Of course.
Well, Peter
so
North thing
weird.
Was more of like a weird, like, that's an obscene amount of cum.
If he came black or whatever, I'd be worried about
were
it.
Were you yeah, just like, on. Is cum supposed to look like that? Or
yeah,
were you questioning your own?
No, it's because we all learn about it through porn, so then we all think that we should have it. And then when we see our own, we're like, why isn't it as white
yeah.
as Peter North?
And how come my load won't go for like 3 minutes?
And how come I can't shoot it across the room? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my body?
Why can't I shoot it and have it attached to the wall and swing off of it?
Dude, it's like X Games of porn that you guys were watching.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the porn that I watched was when I was way younger, so I'm not really up to porn anymore. So
same.
My...
I don't know who they are. I don't. Well, I know from doing videos in a couple years ago, but
yeah.
I don't know the current crop.
I don't know what like the hot thing in porn. It became too accessible.
I was just with my buddies in San Diego at a bachelor party, and they're like, what porn ladies do you like? And I was like, I liked Lisa Ann. And they're like, she's like fucking from 30 years ago or whatever. I'm like, I don't know.
What was her name? Tara Patrick. She was like one
oh,
of
Oh, yeah,
my,
I know. Wait.
She was one
oh,
of
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking Danica Patrick. I don't
she
know.
She was, she's like one of the very few like Asian mixed ones. She was fucking bad as fuck, though, dude.
Yeah.
I was surprised she wasn't.
What do you mean bad as fuck? Like she's not good at it?
No, like bad
no,
as
No, she's
like,
badass.
Oh, she's bad as fuck. Yeah, hell yeah.
And on that note, we are breaking for sponsors and commercials.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, hope you're enjoying this break. We hope you're listening to our podcast on CastBox. If you're not, you can definitely listen anywhere you get your podcasts, but CastBox is really cool, so you should be on it.
I've been all over the world. I've seen every single landmark.
He has.
I only use the podcast CastBox box.
Oh, my God.
Nailed it.
Okay, well, great. Good for you. Also, if you can rate and review us, it really helps people find our podcast, and we'd really appreciate it.
I give Nikki an 8 out of 10.
Please excuse Steve, and please like us.
Always room for improvement.
We're trying our asses off. Welcome back. So, David, do you find that exercising more has strengthened your libido or your sex drive? Because sometimes when Steve lifts weights, like if he's been lifting for a while, it makes his testosterone go way up. And I just, makes his testosterone. I'm creating my own slang.
I think it helps out in every type of way, especially like, you know, I don't think it's helped my libido so much,
yeah,
but it's definitely helped her be more attracted to me.
Okay.
That's big.
You know what I mean?
That is so, your libido, yeah, then.
Just because, like, I mean, on a more serious note, like, I was probably going through, like, a slight, like, slump. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't. That's probably why I was gaining the most amount of weight. I just didn't want to move.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do shit. I was, like, trying to wait for some type of inspiration to hit me.
Dude, okay, I wanted to talk to you about this. Because you did Gook, and congrats. Yeah. Got into Sundance.
Yeah.
That's huge. So I've done a couple, you know, I did Internet Famous, and I was also in Internet Famous. Like, I got the star in my own movie that I wrote, and we with my buddy. And then I was, like, weirdly depressed afterward. Because it was like, I did what I always wanted to do. Like, I starred in a movie, and I wrote my movie, and you know what I mean? Like, it was like, what do I do now?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's exactly
what
it was.
That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Because I went through the same slump, I think.
Yeah, and
you
it was...
get up off your asses, you lift some weights, and then you fuck your wife. That's what you're going to do.
Oh, I like it. I wish I asked you.
Yeah. It's just hard, too. And I think, like, you just feel like, okay, what the fuck next?
Right.
You know?
Like, what now? What do I want to do?
Exactly.
And then I get, you know, and then things were lining up. Like, I've done a couple things since then, but nothing has been, like, the same as, like, that initial excitement. Yeah.
It's the first one, too. And I think, like, I kind of wrote about this, too. I was like, you know what? I don't think anything will ever feel as good in terms of, like, writing and starting your own thing as the first film you ever did. You know? Whether it does great or poor, it doesn't matter. It's still the first one that you ever did.
Like, you actually accomplished for the first time.
Exactly. So I'm, like, trying to chase this, like, older feeling that's not going to be there. So now I just have to set my sights on something else. And I think, like, for me, I tried kind of filling that void with too many things. So opening up 4,000 businesses, doing all this other shit, right? And so I started becoming overwhelmed, where actually I started shutting down because I became a jack of all shits.
Yeah.
So I kept on trying to do...
Jack of all shits. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it is. So I was a jack of all shits. I tried to do everything to the best, but you can't do like 4,000 things great at once, and it doesn't happen that way. So what I did was I stripped everything that I was doing, and I started just adding them slowly at a time. So number one, my relationship started going really bad because I stopped caring about myself, and it started reflecting on how I was treating her.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what you're going to do first is work on two important things in your life. It's your family, friends, and then your health. And so after I get these things locked down, then I'll start working on the other stuff later. So right now it's just family, friends, and health. That's it. That's all I'm working on right now.
That's another thing is that that I used to make fun of old people for, where they're like, you know, you got to take care of yourself, right?
Yeah.
You got to, like, self-care, you got to take a rest. But then when you're like in the mindset of, like, move, 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 and hustle, 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 especially in this city, you feel like taking a rest or taking care of yourself is slowing you down.
Yeah.
And so you don't do it. Like meditation, that sucks. Like you're just being quiet for 15 minutes.
Not looking at your phone for 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's like productivity down the drain. But it's so true. Like when you just take a second to like work on yourself, you're like more productive than you were before when you just were nonstop going.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
It starts to wear you out too, because like I kind of had to put it in perspective. It's like, you know, let's say I stop writing or I stop doing YouTube, or my life doesn't end. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like when those things disappear, your family and friends will always be there. So it's like, why am I not investing my time into them as well? And so for me, like that became really, really important. And then I started losing weight again. And I gained like a ridiculous amount of weight for Gook, by the way. And I...
Oh, wow. Like on purpose?
Yeah, on purpose. Wow. And so I told myself like, hey, you know, I'll lose it again. But after I got, you know, a little bit depressed, couldn't do it.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, when you hit like 30, your weight doesn't come off as easy as it used to.
No, it doesn't. Yeah,
nobody fucking told me that.
I used to just go do, I used to do like 100 jumping jacks a day and I would be fine. And in like two weeks.
Because even my status quo was on the chubbier side. However, it wasn't this big.
Right. You
know? And so I told myself like, yo, I'm just going to take a few drinks out and then eat some salads. I'll be okay. And then somehow I gained weight. I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck is going on? And so I had to really just be mindful of what I'm eating and doing all these bullshit walks, which actually I started to like.
Yeah, it's so interesting that happens. Like you hate it at first. Like it's just like torture, like nails on a chalkboard, getting yourself to go out every day. But then after a while, you're like so used to it, and if you don't do it, you kind of miss it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think what do people call it? The fucking mindfulness shit.
The fucking mindfulness.
There's like a term. Bro? It's like the hot thing, being mindful or something.
Yeah.
But I guess that's technically what I'm doing on these walks. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm not really thinking about it.
You're being connected to your surroundings and where you are.
I need to do that more. I do. I walk now with Nikki, and I walk on my own too. And I didn't get into it until like probably a weekend.
Yeah.
But and for me, like, was there a moment for you though? Like everyone always talks. Like the meme is always like, you know, oh, one day it just hit me. I need to work harder. I need to do all my things. Like, what was there like a meme moment for you or a trigger moment for you?
Oh yeah, for me it was that David Goggins guy. So when I started listening to this guy David Goggins, he's like this Navy. You know, first of all, like if you guys listen to David Goggins like podcasts or whatever, or him just speak in general, you don't have to follow everything that he does. It's just like how he speaks about his personal life experience and what he went through to get to where he's at that helps you kind of apply that to your own life. So for my thing is, it's like I don't have to do – so David Goggins, he's an ultra marathon runner. He runs like, 100 plus miles in one go. Like
it's a crazy.
Ex-Navy SEAL too.
Yeah. Ex-Navy SEAL, finished Hell Week 3 times in a year.
Oh my God.
It's like some crazy shit.
He was in Hell Week and then he had to leave Hell Week and then he went back into Hell Week. And then he went back into Hell Week again because he wasn't going to pass.
Yeah.
3 times.
Nobody does that shit, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's
Hell month.
Basically. I mean, for the guy, I mean, people are like, oh, are you going to do like what David got? No, I'm not going to do what he does. I'm just taking a percent of that.
Right.
Even if it's 1%, it still got my ass up to walk 3 miles a day. I listened to that podcast with him and Joe Rogan every day for the first 3 weeks when I was walking because it helped me just get through it.
After you told me about it, I listened to it too. It's great.
Yeah,
it was great.
I mean, it resonates with certain people. Some people it doesn't just because they think he's a maniac.
He is a maniac.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I thought I said fuck a lot. That guy says fuck like my grandpa. You know what I mean? Like he says it every other word.
There's like a couple. It's supposed to be a very serious podcast, but there's parts where I laughed out loud because he was like, you know, people are asking me if I'm happy. I'm fucking happy.
Yeah.
Happiest fucking person alive. Started laughing.
Yeah. I also love the shit where he's like, I'm in the desert, I'm covered in shit, and I'm running, and my butt's covered in poop. I mean, he didn't say it like that, but I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. Like, this guy's talking seriously about how covered in poop he was.
It's
and he's trying to accomplish his dream anyway. I was like, yeah, if he can do it covered in poop, I could probably do it just with a nice clean butt.
Yeah, if he could run like 100-something miles, and this guy was like, so he's my height. But he was 300 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And he somehow did that and it became, you know, that's what I'm saying. Walking 3 miles is absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you're like, if you do that, I'm a little bitch if I can't do 3 miles.
And he's trying to run, right? Like, so he was, like, thinner, and then he ballooned out, and then he came back again and got thinner.
It wasn't linear at all. It was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So it does show, like, real struggle.
Yeah.
Which is what I enjoyed. You know, it's not, like, this bullshit story where they're just like, one day I woke up and I just did it. No, he talked about the first time he decided that he didn't want to be, you know, an exterminator anymore and that he didn't want his story to end at where he was at that moment. And he decided that he wanted to run. right? So he got on the track, he ran a quarter mile, went back home, and he cried to his mom. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, I can't do this. But that's just the back and forth, and it's just the reality of life that he went through that a lot of people don't talk about.
Yeah, he talks about scarring your mind, which I loved. That's my favorite part, I think, where he talks about, like, almost like you train your mind to get used to, like, what you're doing, and you just, through repetition, you do it so much that your mind is just like, this is what we do now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is so great.
No, it's so true. So, like, I, through my whole childhood, my whole life, I didn't think I could run. Like, when we had to run in elementary school and high school and stuff, you had to run the mile, you know, I would skip it. I would, like, hide in a bush and then, like, come out when people are finishing. And I just thought I couldn't run. Like, every time I tried to run, I was out of breath, my side hurt, and I wasn't overweight or anything. It was just, like, I just felt like some people could run and some people can't run. And I would relate to other people who were like, oh yeah, I can't run either, my side hurts. I'm like, yeah, right, like you get a cramp and stuff. But I didn't realize, because nobody told me this, that you have to breathe a certain way when you're running. You have to, like, have certain form when you're running. You have to do a lot of things to make it so that you can run. And I didn't learn that till I was maybe like 23, because I got a personal trainer and they were like, you got to run, you have to do cardio, you have to run. And he would have me run on a treadmill before we did our weights. And I was like, I can't run. Like, there's no way. And he's like, yeah, you can. You just got to, and he adjusted a certain couple things.
You grabbed your boobs, you grabbed your butt.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I like this personal trainer.
Yeah, you're laying that stance, right?
But it makes such a difference. So I would, on my own, I would run a half a mile and it was like, I was out of breath. Okay. But I made myself run a half a mile.
Yeah.
So then after that, I knew at least I could run a half a mile because I already did it. So I didn't think I could do a half a mile before, but now I proved that I can. So I have to go at least a half a mile the next time I get on a treadmill. So then I would go a mile, like, and it was really hard and I could barely do it, but I made it to a mile without stopping and walking. And then the next time I was like, oh, I already know I can do a mile. So I have to at least do a mile. Like, if I feel like I want to quit and it hasn't been a mile, I know that I can run a mile. And then I worked all the way up to 6 miles, and I was running like 6 miles a day for, I don't know, like almost a year. And then I fractured my foot and I had to take 3 months off. But I had no idea that
no excuse. David Goggins would say that's no excuse.
He literally tore both
his things out. He actually would.
Oh my.
He'd be like, that's no fucking excuse.
I'm not David Goggins.
Because he tore all the ligaments in his legs or some shit. Like
his.
I'm not trying to die.
He grinded his foot down to a nub or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is going on?
His ankles were so bad. He, during Hell Week, the first hour that he would be active, he said his ankles were in so much excruciating pain that the only way that he could, like, stand was that he had to duct tape his legs up.
Okay, but why?
What do you mean?
Like, why?
To finish Hell Week.
Okay, but your body tells you, like, when to stop.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he got fucked up from it pretty bad.
See?
So.
Yeah, but your body
caused
also.
Permanent damage
to
yourself.
You know, it's like Rocky says? He's like, yo, look in the mirror. That's your biggest enemy right there. You know? Yeah. Like your body is your biggest enemy, too, sometimes.
And so you know what's interesting? Through. Like, Steve and I also have a shared love for the very first Rocky movie.
Oh, I love Rocky.
David Goggins also mentioned the Rocky movie.
Yeah. He talked about how he would fast-forward it to round 14 or something every time.
I hate to break it to you, but a lot of people like Rocky.
Not really.
Not as much as we love Rocky.
We like it more. Well, you know how many people made fun of that movie for winning Best Picture? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I take it over the Hurt Locker, you fucking assholes.
Or this year's that fish movie.
Yeah, come on, man.
It was Hellboy.
Hellboy. Fucking Hellboy.
It was Hellboy. It was She's that one character in Hellboy.
Exactly. Abe.
I was kind of shocked when I saw that, because I haven't watched too much films this year.
Yeah.
But when I saw, was it The Shape of Water?
Yeah, Shape of Water.
I was like, is this Hellboy?
Yeah, Hellboy. They were fucking.
I haven't seen Hellboy.
She fucked the Hellboy costume.
Yeah.
It was amazing, dude. I mean, that part was amazing.
Yeah.
The trollation of that whole movie was amazing.
Oh, totally. I like that it won.
Me
but
too.
It just,
I like that it won for
funny.
The trolliness
yeah.
of it. But I was sad. I don't know. I'm not. I used to be really like, oh man, the Oscars, that's tight. But now that I've been here.
And you see all the politics behind the scenes.
Heard about all the politics and seen it. And like, I heard that, like, you know, the way that Ben Affleck had to lobby for Argo to win. And when Argo won, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because there was some dope movies out here. So I don't know. It just.
You could lobby for your movie.
Though. Oh, that's
what
you
it's
do.
All politics.
It's another way of advertising your movie, right? So like when they start to make your movie,
yeah.
They're like, this will be in this quadrant so that we can make a push during award season. And so it needs to be like released by December so that it can be in the award season. And then if it's in the award season and if it's a nominee for Best Picture, it will make this certain amount of money. It's all part of the financing.
And even getting nominated, even the nominees, a lot of agencies, if they want like this actor to blow up, they'll pay and do all this stuff to campaign for them to just get nominated, knowing they won't win, but like just them getting nominated sets them up for higher pay in movies for the next like couple years, and then they can actually land better roles that would get them the awards.
It's just part of the marketing. That's what you have to think
of. So crazy.
It's like you know, they know that Transformers is going to be a summer movie, right? And so they market for that. But with the award shows, you notice how they market them differently because it's for the awards marketing. But that's just a big marketing thing. Like it's not that that's wrong. It's just understanding that now has taken the shine off of it for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's what happens a lot too. It's just like when you kind of go into like a certain career path, especially like with us, when that glamour, not, I wouldn't say glamour, I think like when the dirtiness comes out. You know, you find out all these like stupid little shit to something that you really just liked for the creativity of
it.
It makes you hate it a little bit more.
It does, yeah.
You know, so it's just like me, I'm just trying to find my way just to do what I like with it.
Right. And I think that's what it all comes down to is just make shit that you like. Because that happened on YouTube too. It's like we all, or our generation at least, we came to YouTube because, you know, we weren't maybe getting opportunities as many as we wanted in the entertainment industry. And so you're like, oh, I'm just going to put what I want to out there, you know, put my craft out there on my own, and then I'll make my own kind of path. But then it became a job where, like, people were making money off YouTube. People were making their living there. But in order to keep up and continue to make your living, you had to change up your format to be whatever was trending.
100%. Or repetition. That's the problem too.
Right.
Yeah. YouTube is trying to be a medium that has better content. They always say that all the time. We want better, higher quality content. But then they reward repetition more than anything else.
Yeah. And they reward stupid stuff. Like they reward based on numbers, which the main demographic of YouTube is 8 to 13 year olds. So basically they reward children's programming. So you can't as an adult make great content to other adults and then have it be blown up on YouTube.
I would just like my subscribers just to see the videos I make.
Exactly.
That's the only thing I ask for. That's the only
thing. What about
when
they click that bell and then it still doesn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
There's like three levels of subscriptions now and none of them work.
Yeah.
Soon they're going to have a little icon. It's like, knock on the door, ring the bell. And then it's like, wait for the doorman.
Yeah.
And they're still not going to give you the fucking video. It's like amazing, dude.
It's weird now. Like I try to... You know, I still like YouTube and I still love the platform no matter what because it just gave us all opportunities that we never would have had before.
Absolutely.
I just kind of miss the...
Old camaraderie.
Yeah, you know? Like, I definitely miss that shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, well, it used to be based more on creating good stuff. And now it's like, how much content can I put out?
Yeah.
What's the quantity rather than the quality?
Yeah.
So that's what the algorithm favors.
That's why I love you guys, the JK guys, man, because it very much feels like that, like in our own
old school YouTube.
Sphere,
yeah,
it's like, hey, whatever you need, I'll be there. I want to help you. Like it feels like that again, which is very weird.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's so funny because like we kind of figured out too that people just want to burn you for anything and everything. And it's so funny because... you know, we're shooting, they don't even know, we're shooting like fucking 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So by the time we said, we get a little delusional.
Yeah.
We start saying some funny and crazy shit, right?
It's the best shit, though.
I know, like, sometimes I watch it, I'm like, I said that?
Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying. And they're like, well, didn't you say this in another video? You're such a hypocrite. I'm like, probably.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Who's not a hypocrite?
Yeah.
Show me the man who is not a hypocrite. He will be all of our heroes.
No, everyone's perfect in the comments. They're all like perfect. They're all experts. They're all not ignorant.
And
not
they all know how to fuck the best. They all got the biggest dicks.
Yeah.
I know. I love it.
It's funny too. They'll say like, "Well, you know, 7 months ago, you said you believed in this." I was like, "Well, I changed my mind."
Right.
Like most humans do.
Yeah.
Right.
When there's new knowledge presented,
or it's like,
probably I'll change my mind.
It's like, Steve, you sound like you're really embellishing on the story. It's like, I probably am.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably trying to do comedy. I'm probably trying to like emphasize it a little differently so that it's funny. Otherwise, I'm just telling you a story about how my cat died.
Yeah,
or whatever.
One of the funniest things is like, because you know, as comics, like you try to embellish a story a lot, and so I'll tell a story probably 3 or 4 times over the same story, but let me little like.
You heighten it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, well, didn't you say this, this? I was like, of course. It's a funny fucking story. I don't remember the exact specifics. And the actual story is kind of not that funny. You know?
Right. And we're trying to, I mean, it's just like when you're working a joke out. You're just trying different angles on the joke.
Yeah.
Just to try to figure out how it works the best. But so on JK, we try to do that kind of shit too. And people are like, you said, I heard you're a blah. I heard you like this. It's like, oh, God, I don't care. I really don't care.
And like, and even like with the stories that I tell from people back home, like I'll change the names because they don't want their names out. Mm. I was like, did you say their name was? Because it's not the real name, idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like what the fuck? It's not their actual name.
Yeah.
Like,
these people, how do they remember each little detail? It's
I don't know,
crazy.
But I love them though. Thank you for the views.
I know.
And I know you guys are our number one fan, so I'm just
they're great, up. Actually. Yeah. The majority of people that stop us in public are from JK. They're all JK members.
Sure.
Yeah. And they're all so sweet.
They're dope.
No, everybody's dope.
I mean, sure, they go home and comment like, Nikki sucks.
Yeah. And then you take a picture with Nikki.
Yeah.
I think it's just a part of the culture. They just want anybody to put a thumbs up on their comment. So they're just trying to say anything.
Yeah.
Just get them recognition.
It's true.
Makes them feel better.
And I can't say that I was different. At that age, we didn't have YouTube, but I was on a message board. And I remember just trying to like say shocking shit or just like be edgy just because it would get me a lot of like praise and popularity. And I wasn't popular in my real life. Like I literally had no friends. I was in the library on this message board at lunchtime. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Nikki with braces?
The picture that you put up. Oh my. You literally look like the girl that nobody would touch in the library.
That's right. And that's exactly I wouldn't have. She looks like a girl who drinks too much whiskey. Like, it's like, what the heck?
But I had a boyfriend for 2 years.
That's crazy, man. That's insane.
Yeah.
How did you lose weight in your face? Is there a machine for that?
I don't know. I think it was just age.
Because that was crazy.
Because I had, you know what it was? Is I had chipmunk cheeks when I was born. Like, when I was born, my face was 90% cheek. And I think as I got older, it grew into my face. Like, it's still the same amount of cheek, but I have more bone.
Dude, that picture, though, was insane.
When I saw that, because that was
you took off your ring and you threw it.
It was actually like before we started dating. Like that was actually the day that I asked her out.
Yeah, that you asked me out.
She showed me that picture and I was like, aha. Because I always thought that she was like this hot chick who was always hot. And so she was dumb as fuck. And I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
I didn't think she was dumb as fuck, but I'm exaggerating.
Mm. He did think I was dumb as fuck.
I didn't think that she was that cool.
They used to try to troll me and I would troll them back and they didn't even know that I was trolling them back. Like, so they thought it was so funny. There was this running joke where they thought it was so funny because I said in a Q&A, they were like, how do you have sex or whatever? And I was like, I like to tell jokes in bed, just like kind of make it more conversational and casual or whatever. And I said that because I don't want these people knowing how I had sex. Like, back then, I didn't talk about sex as much. I wasn't as open. So I was like, I don't need them picturing me having sex. So I was like, I just tell jokes. And they were like, you just do stand-up in bed? So every time they saw me, they would make jokes. Like, if I said I was on a date, they're like, how many jokes did you tell him in bed? And they like thought I was so stupid. And I was like, no, he really liked my jokes. And I was just trolling them back.
But
I'm like,
not,
no, they were great.
We were just bidding with you. You were doing a bit.
No, they believed it. No, you did, because you told me you believed it until we had sex.
I believed that you were a different person than for sure. Like, I didn't know you yet, right? For sure. But that picture was a big eureka moment for me.
Yeah, that's why I knew I had to show him that picture. Because I was like, no, I'm really...
Nobody wanted to touch me.
Yeah. Because yeah.
I didn't want him to think I was unapproachable because I had a crush on him for a while at that point, and he had just gotten single. And I never thought that we would ever date because he was in such a long-term relationship.
I was just on a table with her, you know what I mean? Like,
I was
on Mountain High. You know?
I was just like, how do I get this guy to know that, like, I'm down and I'm not, like, some uppity chick? Like, I just want him to know, like, who I am. So I remember showing
you that
picture.
Wait, how long were you with the girl prior to her?
Oh, years. Like
4 years.
4 years,
yeah.
Did you break up with her? Or?
She broke up with me.
That cunt. No.
But it was the best thing that ever happened to me. No joke. Like, it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Both of our exes were pretty much the same person. Like, they treated us the same way.
Yeah, it wasn't great. it wasn't great.
Like, how so?
Like, they just weren't romantic people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, exactly.
We weren't sentimental. Like, we're really sentimental people, and, like, we value the relationship and loyalty, and like we put each other first, and our partners didn't put us first, but we would put them first.
For me, the biggest thing was finding out that there was a lot of shit talk behind my back that I didn't know about. And after I knew that, I was like, literally, I'll never talk to you again in my life. Like, it just became easy for me to just disavow, like, I'm chill. Because I always, like, my whole thing is loyalty, man. And I will, like, friends, like you know, my partner or whatever, I will have your back so fucking hard, it's crazy. I'll get into arguments.
My partner or whatever. Your wife?
Like, whoever my partner may be.
Whoever that person may be.
No, but I'll get in arguments with your family for you, whatever you gotta do. Not because I'm so great, but because that to me is just the bare minimum of what I expect you to do for me too.
Yeah.
Like, I expect that we have each other's backs always, no matter what. Even if, like, things aren't working out later or whatever, at least we had each other's backs, and you can say that the whole time. Man. Finding out that was not the case, it was like, nah.
Loyalty is everything. Like, it is damn near everything. I think that's why... I think, like, you guys click with us very well too, like the whole JK crew, and we always keep our group very small. Like, I don't think a lot of people have that.
No. Yeah, you
know, people are very—they just want to be like amicable with everybody,
right?
You know what I mean, and you know, I'm very careful with my words with other people. Like, I'll, you know, be like, all right, okay. But let's say, like, for example, like I go out somewhere and they're like, Steve Green's an asshole. I was like, no, that's my homie. You can't talk to him.
Yeah,
that's right. It's not safe for you to talk this way right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I love that.
I didn't realize how uncommon loyalty was, because I feel like I used to feel like everybody was pretty loyal, and then the outliers were the ones that weren't. But now, as I've gotten older, I feel like we're the outliers. Like, I feel people are so wishy-washy and flaky, and that's just the norm. And people act like, when I tell people, oh, so-and-so we had a falling out because they were like this, they, you know, said this behind my back or whatever. People are like, so?
I know,
whatever,
man.
Like, it's so, and I'm like, thing. No, I mean, I would never do that. I have your back, like, forever. If I say that we're homies and, like, we chill with each other, because I don't let a lot of people into my circle either. We don't just chill with people unless we really like them.
Yeah.
And if it's gotten to that point with you, and then you, like, diss me like that, I just will never talk to you again. Like, I just can't.
And I will always say to your face whatever it is that I say about you, period.
Oh, 100%. That's what a lot of people don't understand,
right? Right.
So I remember, like, even in high school, right, there was this dude, I won't say his name, but I hated this guy's guts, right? And so, like, whenever, and he was within our group, and when he was split, I would say some shit, right? And then he came back, he goes, I heard you were talking shit about me. I was like, bro, I said that to your face yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
The only difference was you left, so I continue saying it. Exactly. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know?
And I think that's a good friend. I think that your good friends are the ones that tell you to your face what's wrong with you and, like, what you need to work on. And it, like, if you truly are good friends, you don't take it in a way that's like, oh, this guy hates
and
me.
You're tact, like, with it too. We're not like coming up and saying, well, listen here, you fucking piece of shit. You
know? Right. Yeah.
Well, there's tact.
No, there's tact, and that's why. It, also, too, like, when it comes to people I don't necessarily like, I'm not just gonna, like you said, be like, hey, fuck you. Like, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be in the same room as you. I don't have to go like this the whole time to be real.
Yeah.
Like, it's just about, I just held up middle fingers if you're not seeing me. But you know, I don't have to do that to be real.
Yeah.
I just have to, if I'm not going to have a pretend conversation with you and act like we're dope or whatever, be like, let's hang out soon if I fucking don't like you.
Yeah. And I don't know. In my family, the way we showed love was by busting balls. So, like, that's when sometimes people say that I sting a little too hard. Mm. I'm like, no, I just really like you. Like, I really, really like you.
Be my friend. Be my friend.
Right. It's like when, you know, you throw rocks at the person you have a crush on. Like, I'll bust your balls harder if I like you. Yeah.
So you're the one that fucking puts bullets in their windows then, huh?
Yeah. Like, I don't realize how intense I am, but it's, in an analogy, it's like they'll, like, kind of, tap me on the shoulder, like, oh, pal. And I, like, just sock them back, like, haha. We're friends.
Oh, you are one of those really awkward ones.
But I don't realize. I don't realize.
You got the upgraded version of Nikki. Thank God.
I did.
Yeah. I don't realize how that I'm coming off that strong.
Is it just how your family is? Like, you guys just like...
Yeah, we just bust balls. And, like, sometimes people get so sad they cry.
They're the biggest ball busters. Her whole family's biggest bunch of ball busters.
All of us go hard in the paint. We, like, one-up each other on how, like, ball busty
we are.
And
sometimes it goes so hard that afterward we'll just all be in the car.
And we'll be all quiet.
Very quiet. And you just hear the sounds of traffic.
Hey, Auntie, how's that third divorce going for you? And it gets super quiet.
Dude, exactly.
Hey, that's a little too far, but okay.
Yeah. Or it's like, you're just waiting for grandma to die so you can have part of the house. And everyone's like,
It's a little too soon.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Jesus. You're talking about truth now.
Is your dad Filipino?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. He's a bull, dude.
But my 100%. Mom's the one that grew up in Hawaii, and she's white.
Oh, that's right.
So he grew up in Carson.
Oh, my God.
Definitely doesn't act.
And you're Korean. Are you 100% Korean?
I'm 100% Korean. Okay. I can read, write, and speak.
That's great. And Muriel is that too, right?
Yeah. So Muriel is interesting because she's Korean, but she speaks. She's like fluent in Mandarin and also Japanese, Korean, and English.
Wow. Wow. Overachiever, Muriel.
How old is she?
She's 29.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, in typical Asian fashion, she looks like she's fucking 18.
I know.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Asian dough raisin.
You know what's so funny? She shows me pictures of herself, right? Like from 10 years ago. She goes, I've aged so much. I'm like, bitch, you look exactly the same.
Exactly
There's
the same.
There's not a fucking wrinkle
Nikki
on your face.
Nikki does that to me too. She's like, how do I look here compared to like 10 years ago? And I'm like, you look exactly fucking the same.
Yeah, because your makeup's better. Right. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking? You look better than you did back then.
Right, exactly. I think she does.
Yeah.
That's the shit.
Even with Mario, she looks better than she did back then. I was like, you look like a little whore back then. Like, you look fine now.
Right. I'm like, you look like you have bony ass shoulders before, and she's like, my shoulders are fat now, and I'm like, they're not fat, like you have bony ass shoulders, like, yeah. I like the way you look.
Well,
now
I want bony shoulders.
I know you do.
Anyway, David, where can they find you? Where can people find you?
You can find me at youtube.com/DavisOComedy. All the handles are DavisOComedy. Twitter.
There you go. That makes it easy.
Instagram. Everything.
Good branding.
Gosh, you've done good branding like that.
No, he does not have good branding.
Steve
branding.
G. Steve.
Yeah, it's
like Steve Green Calm, Steve Green Comedy, oh, Steve Green.
Steve Green Calm, yeah.
And can we watch your movie on Netflix? Is it on there now?
Oh, yeah. You could watch Gook on Netflix. It's there. Still there, actually, right now. So check it out.
And if Hell you watch it, you can say it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the only way you get the rite of passage.
The funniest thing was, like, during Sundance, we had a bunch of Gook t-shirts, and I only gave it to white people. And they wouldn't take it.
That's great.
That's hilarious.
I was like, would you wear our Gook shirt? They're like, absolutely not.
No way in hell. I love it. Yeah, how would you like to see a billboard that just says Gook?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, put it in Chinatown or whatever?
I should have recorded that shit, because I was just being an asshole. I was like, here, would you like this free shirt? They're like, yes. This is not funny. And they would throw it back at me. I'm like, make more film.
That
would
have been a great marketing campaign.
Yeah.
I should have done that.
And final thoughts before we go.
Oh, nothing, man. I could talk to David for 3 hours.
I know. I really could. You've been so good. You're just so easy to talk to. Thank you so much for coming on today.
I always laugh my ass off with this guy, man. I love rapping with you, man.
And we were all over the place. Like, we started off in health, but we could talk about anything.
We burned through Porn Star Cum, and we ended it with a nice, tidy, so you're 100% Korean?
Yeah.
So my final thoughts about health, at least, is just take your vitamins.
I'm going to start taking vitamins, but only because I'm on a diet right now where I can't have sugar, and I feel like I can have Flintstones vitamins.
You can't have any sugar at all?
Not really.
No, we're on a no sugar thing. It's like stupid.
Fruit sugar?
Can I have a 2 grams
fruit sugars.
Of sugar? Flintstones
vitamin? Not really, but I'll let it slide because I didn't make up the diet.
That was my ace in the hole.
I don't really take vitamins anymore. Like, yeah. I just try to supplement everything through diet. So no matter what I eat now, it'll get those requirements in there. So a lot of leafy greens, a lot of veggies, and then a lot of fruits.
Even D's the hardest.
I'll check my MyFitnessPal later.
Yeah,
I forgot what I'm eating.
You gotta get your sunlight in.
You eat chicken, or what do you do? What do you?
I'll eat a little bit of everything, but generally I don't eat a lot of beef anymore.
Final thoughts, guys.
Oh, my bad. Final thoughts. Start walking, and then masturbate frequently.
There you go.
Helps out a lot.
Thank you for listening. Hopefully you're subscribed to CastBox, and we'll see you next time.
Deuces.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Before you leave, we just want to give a shout out to one of the other podcasts here on CastBox, Don't Mess with Christine Sadelko.
Now listen, this is a CastBox original. They're the OGs in the space, okay? And Christine's podcast in particular is, it's just, you're just chilling with her.
You're in a studio in Burbank. Let's take you there visually. You're in a studio in Burbank. You're sitting down with Christine.
It's 65 degrees.
And you're listening to some awkward conversation.
How cool is that?
If it's 65 degrees, man, that's a good day.
Hey, look, we don't get that. We were in a very small studio.
Yeah, there's a lot of fluorescent lights here.
Calling it a studio is generous. I'd say it's the most generous thing I've said.
It's like the size of our bathroom, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you know, our bathtub, you know what I'm saying?
But we like it, and you should check out Christine Sadelko's podcast. She's a much better studio than us.
Listen to Christine.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.